Welcome, everybody, to High Tech on the Low, episode 92. Idan, how are you this morning?
Very good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. We are sitting here with Idan Carmelli from Envy, a B2B digital marketing and rev ops agency. And as always, we are sponsored by Frontteam with 12 different communities, 6 verticals, and 3,000 members all looking to connect. And if you like what you hear today, please like, subscribe, follow, do all that fun stuff because we always appreciate it here. And Idan, we're going to get into the fun world today of basically marketing ops. And marketing ops for startups, marketing ops for founders, and also RevOps, which is something that I think we haven't really discussed on this podcast, which I'm always very interested in. Also, it's this kind of weird world, revenue operations. What even does that mean? Because we all want revenue, and we all need operations to get there. So very interested to talk to you about this today and how we can all kind of improve our flow, if you will. But first, Idan, tell us a little bit about what are you guys up to at Envy, and what's your role at Envy as well?
First of all, it's such a coincidence because that's, you know, my favorite topic to speak of.
Okay, good. So well, that's amazing. So, we lucked out then today.
It's so lucky. I don't know how we got there.
Amazing.
So at Envy, we, as you said, we provide digital marketing services for B2B companies of all sizes and stages.
Sure.
So we have one part which does the digital marketing, like PPC, inbound, a lot of strategy, ABM, go-to-market.
So traditional, kind of what you would call a digital marketing
agency. The traditional services. Not all of them, just we're very focused on a few.
Okay, sure.
And then there's the other part, which is more kind of my thing, which is the revenue operations part, which is where we do consulting, implementations, services related to marketing operations, revenue operations, everything that has to do with how technologies enable the business.
Interesting. So like, what would you also describe, like if I came to you right now, right, I'm coming to you right now, but if I came to you right now and was a client and said, I heard revenue operations, what is that? How is that going to help my business? What do you tell me as a client?
So first of all, I would say it's in the name, right? Revenue operations is the kind of machinery, the business machinery and the technology and the processes and the people that you put in place when you are aligned towards revenue as a goal.
Okay.
So when your goal is not to go out with a campaign.
Sure.
When your goal is not to launch something into the market.
Okay.
When your goal is to generate revenue, to produce revenue for the company as a whole, when you think about it as the primary sort of directive, that's a prime directive, we need to generate revenue from all parts of the business, and that's how we align. That's where revenue operations comes in because you need the operations to do that.
Right. And it's also, I'm sure from your end too, also kind of, I guess, you know, evaluating those points within a company where you say, okay, you guys are coming out with a campaign. Fantastic. How do we make sure that revenue is the number one goal even, right? And how do we make sure that like you guys are optimized so that this campaign is not just like, you know, pure brand exposure, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think about it, when you have revenue as your goalpost, right? This is your lighthouse. This is where you look all the time. So you think not just campaign. You don't think just marketing. You think marketing. You think sales development. You think sales, and then you think customer service and customer success. These are all the elements in your organizations that are gonna be touching, okay, or communicating,
right,
or serving the clients, which are the ones generating revenue.
Right, it's much more comprehensive.
Need to be aligned.
Right. It's much more like holistic, as you even are saying. It's a package almost, right?
It's
much
more holistic.
Because it's not just like, you know, for example, like coming from the marketing background myself, you know, a lot of times I always like to say when the marketing and sales aren't aligned, it's a mess, right? You know, because it's kind of like they don't really, you're putting out different messages, people aren't communicating, and it's always a different, and it's a problem. And this, revenue ops, is kind of saying, okay, let's take that idea and even 10x that. Let's say customers have to be, you know, customer success has to be involved, sales has to be involved, marketing has to be involved, and all has to be on point to basically reach the goal.
Exactly. Let's processize it.
I like that.
There's an even bigger word, like operationalize. Let's think about it holistically as the ball kind of moves from player to player within the organization and you know, organize it, make it optimize,
right,
make it, you know, work, make it a smooth very old oiled machine
like
that
it.
Runs smoothly, right?
Right, and like it's kind of like its own beast within the company in that sense.
Yeah, and that's what the operations part of it is about. It's about, you know, making it run smoothly.
Mm.
So it's about, you said alignment, which is, you know, one of the core things, elements of a smoothly running revenue machine.
Okay.
Is the alignment between the different, you know, parts that
right.
we mentioned. For example, you have leads that marketing generate.
Right.
All their acquisition
all the time,
channel,
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
How do they then go to sales development? How do you provide to the SDR, to the BDR, the information that you generated in marketing that you already have about that person, about the prospect, and you enable the SDR to have then a meaningful conversation and a knowledgeable conversation about what they need to talk about
100%.
In order to improve the probability that this would then move forward in the process. So it's a process.
Right, right. Right. And then it comes back to the account executive then managing that and customer success, making sure that the customer's happy and getting what they need and that they,
exactly.
you know, you retain the customer for a long time. A lot of value driven kind of like operations here for sure. Now, from your perspective, you know, you also mentioned that you come from kind of this digital marketing background as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have RevOps. Now, what are some of the ways that you recommend companies get into kind of focusing on their revenue operations and marketing, I guess, as kind of one, you know, combined unit of this larger process?
Right. So there's a difference. It depends really on what stage you are as a company,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're in a very, very early stage, you're just, you know, going out of stealth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're just launching your alpha into
right.
the market.
Okay.
That's one thing. If you're already, you know, with inside a scaling process, if
sure.
you're a scale up, that's a different thing. And then if you're an established, sort of company, then it's a whole different ballgame, okay? You have to think different sizes and different scales. So let's start from the beginning, right?
Okay.
So my first advice to a startup who's now building that machine is to focus on the basics. Right?
Is to focus on like their basis as a product or their basis as a company?
The basics. The
okay.
basics of marketing, product market fit,
mm.
understanding your audience and your customers, knowing what's the message that's going to most resonate with them, which means understanding what they care about, what
sure.
they go to sleep with, and what they wake up in the morning. It's really the basics. It has nothing to do with operations, technology,
right.
automation, right?
It's like what any marketer would tell someone, right? You know, at that stage.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
But when you don't have those basics and then you tack technology on top of it too fast,
right?
Okay, you're going to run automation on a faulty process or on a partial process.
Mm.
So you need to first get the basics right. If you have a good story to tell your audience, then automation is an amazing vehicle to distribute it faster, you know, and to get more reach basically for that message.
What's interesting that you're bringing something up right now too, you're bringing up the whole idea of marketing automation, right? Which is this whole kind of, you know, fascinating, you know, world that has developed basically in the last 20 years or so
exactly.
that has like really taken off between, you know, it's not just, obviously we all know about Facebook ads and Google ads and this ad and that ad and this thing, but there's a lot more going on behind the scene. Now we'll get into that in a second, but I kind of want to understand, you know, it's almost like you're saying, it's a lot like, the way I see what you're saying is a lot like AI right now, what everyone is saying out there. You know what I mean? Kind of
yeah.
like AI can help you do 1, 2, 3, 4, but if you don't have the basics, then you're not getting anywhere with AI. It's almost like what it sounds like with marketing automation. Like if you don't have your brand story, if you don't know who you're trying to reach, if you don't know their problems, then it doesn't matter whatever you're going to do. You can put HubSpot, Facebook ad, do this, do the next thing. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. You're going to fail as a company at the end of the day. It's kind of what you're saying.
I love that you mention AI because the way I do think about it evolutionary,
uh-huh.
I have a little bit of perspective being, you know, 23 years in a business. And
because you're only 23, right?
Because
there
I'm
you,
only 24.
There oh, there you go.
It
right.
took me a year.
It took you
to
a year.
To get started, yeah. But you know, we're building, it's the Tower of Babylon of our times.
Okay.
If you think about, you know, our industry as a whole, we're
sure.
building our Tower of Babylon.
Right.
And it started, you know, when I started in a 2000s.
Right.
I was doing marketing. I was doing product marketing.
Sure.
And basically the way we did it is we had no insights about, no feedback, right? We had an agency. I was working for an enterprise software company. Sure. We had an agency that we outsourced the campaigns to.
Sure.
They were sending the emails. They were telling us back,
right,
you know, what were the open rates and the click rates. We had no really...
But you didn't have control of the data.
No control of the data, no direct sort of feedback loop that we are so used to today, right?
Right?
You put an ad out, after a day, you know how many clicks it got, what's your CDR,
right,
what's your CPL, you know, all that.
Where they're from, who is doing it, age groups.
Who clicked,
yeah.
Which companies, right. Insights, all of that is readily available. None of that was back then, you know. You had events, basically you met your customers at events, at conferences, at conventions, and that was your touch point, or you went to meetings, you know, with your clients.
Right, which was, you know, something
such
no
an
one,
odd
who
idea,
does that
right?
anymore?
Who does that? Who does that?
Really?
So we had that. And then automation and technology started to get into the play, you know, 2005, 2006, companies like Eloqua, Marketo, HubSpot,
sure.
They start to come into Salesforce, they start to get into the playground, and we start to get data. We start to get, you know, technology that gives us more direct contact with our audiences as marketers.
And pretty immediately too, right? It comes back in that sense, like, you know, you're getting it, you know, you send out an email, you know the bounce rate. Like, you know what's coming in. You know the client who's answering that email too. You know how to answer them. You also know how to save them in your system and get back to them.
And then we spent the next decade learning how to use those tools and how to optimize and make the best of them. And the tools got better and better. First, only email was automated. And then ads were automated. And then social was automated.
Right.
And then data was automated. And CRM was automated. So it built on and built on. And we became better and better technicians.
Okay.
But it's not enough. You have to also be a good strategist in order to make good use of the technology. And what's happening, I think, now,
yeah,
you know, we learned, we got very good at using technologies. We evolved to being strategists. Now, suddenly, with AI, there's something in between us and the technology that can operate the technology better than us. So we need to evolve. We need to build the next level in our Tower of Babylon, right?
For us as people.
For us as people, we need to, instead of using the tools, we need to tell AI how to use the tool. We need to become like prompt engineers. We
right.
need to become like good at telling all those AI-driven tools what to do with the tools that we got so used to using.
It's almost like you're a tech instructor. You know what I mean? Like
we're
you're
evolving.
Like instructing the tech of how to do the tech, right?
We are evolving. That's what's so, you know, it's scary and it's beautiful because that's the
right.
next phase. Look, I saw a post this morning.
Okay.
Just last week, I think 40 or 50 AI-driven tools, AI-enabled sort
sure.
of software tools
sure,
were
sure.
launched globally.
In the last
40
month,
tools,
basically?
Like in the last week.
This is in the last week. Wow.
40, 50 tools, AI assistants, scheduling assistant, content writers.
Right.
Everything, you know, enabled now by and ChatGPT. They
right.
opened their
Lest
app
we forget,
store.
Of course. Right.
They opened their app store. Mm-hmm. So now everything is going to be, we're evolving. It's not going to be for us if we want to survive as
marketers.
As marketers,
you know,
basically.
RevOps guys, whatever it might be.
Yeah. It's not, we can't just now rely on tools. We need to
up the game a little bit. It's like upping the ante. You know, it's very interesting to me because, you know, I like you, I come from marketing, like I've said, and it's always the interesting world of like, at what point do you kind of have the human factor still involved and what point do you allow marketing, you know, at this point it was just marketing automation to take over, right? But now it's going to kind of see like, at what point do you let AI take over or whatever it's going to be, correct? Now, one of my things that I kind of want to ask you is, you know, with a lot of these tools, I'm sure back in the day too, you know, it was very sexy. You know, they're new tools. They help you do things theoretically more efficiently, maybe faster, maybe without, you know, human error as much. And now with the advent of AI also coming into the marketing space too, we're even going to see that probably, you know, 10x in terms of efficiency
yep.
and whatever. What do you think though are going to be some of the dangers of now adding marketing operations like this, especially marketing automation operations like this, to existing companies or even to new companies that are just starting up, new startups? What are going to be some of the dangers? Because I feel like right now, kind of from what you were saying, is that, you know, back in the day, people were relying on HubSpot, let's call it, right? relied on it so much, but it's like, wait, at the end of the day, what was your value? What was your proposition? How are you helping your customers? It's like it didn't do anything for you. It was just another tool, right? It was like it was like the what I like to call the ooh shiny effect. You know, like, ooh, it's so nice. I must have this new thing in my tech stack, right? Whereas now it's like, you know, we're having AI jump in there. You still have other tools that are still getting built, right? Even now, that are going to be even better in a sense than maybe the HubSpot Salesforces of the world. What do you think are some of the dangers then that kind of come now with this new development and marketing automation?
I think it's a combination of what was always there, or like the need to master the basics before you go to the technology. I think that's compounded now by AI, because the temptation to just learn AI, learn how to interact with AI machines,
right,
instead of how to do marketing right, how to speak to your customers, to your prospects, where to engage with them, when to engage with them, okay? All of that might be now facilitated by AI.
Sure.
So our temptation will be to let AI do it. So you're kind of running a danger now of, I don't know, 5 years from now,
sure,
having people in our industry who really know how to engage AI machines but really don't know marketing.
Ooh.
It's like... it's like digital marketing. Like, there was a time when everything was, we got so excited and so captured by the notion of everything being measured.
Sure.
You know, when Google introduced PPC,
right,
introduced Google Ads, and really pushed into our field the notion that everything is measurable, mm-hmm, right? So when everything is measurable and you focus on the tool that, or the concept that creates that measurement, you lose sight of the basic. You lose sight of the fact that you need, at the end of the day, as a marketer, you need to tell someone a compelling story, to create some emotional reaction with them, to have some sort of emotional rapport with them,
right,
and make them understand that what you're offering is what they want, or what you're offering is what they need, right? And
that's very real. That's very real what you're saying.
The danger now is that we're going to delegate that to machines that do it for us because it's going to be easy.
Right.
Look.
But they don't necessarily know like you and I do, because they don't have that background in the strategy.
Exactly. Look, one of the things that I keep saying about our industry, especially here, by the way, in Israel,
okay,
I don't think I would be able to say the same thing if I were, you know, based in the Valley or in Boston.
Sure.
Is that we're a very much innovation, technology-driven, you know, culture.
Sure.
Here in Startup Nation.
Sure.
Right? And I think where we sort of lag is business acumen.
Okay. Okay.
Understanding, I'm in B2B, right? So what I mean by business acumen is understanding how organizations buy, what makes them make decisions, what's involved in a considered purchase process within an organization. And that kind of knowledge, it exists in the market, but I think the market is much more dominated by, you know, innovation, by
right,
software writing, amazing people coming out of, you know, the army or coming out of the intelligence corps and, you know, building things that are awesome. But they're missing sort of the business sort of strata.
Well, I know what you mean. I agree with you, to be honest. I think it's something, I mean, personally, I think it's actually something that's missed in a lot of parts of the world, not even just in Israel, because, you know, one of the things I always like to tell people is that, you know, you'll get that guy, that company that comes to you and says, here's $10,000, go get me Google Ads, you know, get me what I need. And it's like, wait, hold on. Let's look at what your whole basis is here, right? You know, okay, your website's crap. You guys don't upload on social. You guys don't have any backlinks, you know, or external links with any other, you know, firm or anything to help your SEO. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? You can give me all that money and it's going to go down the drain, right? You know, I can't do anything for you in a certain sense. And it's what you're saying right now in a way is like the world is going to start relying too much on the tech and lose that idea that it's like, but wait, like to get, you know, it's like what I told a client the other day. I said, you know, to get a viral piece of content, just make content, and ideally, eventually, you'll get to the viral piece of content. Same thing here. It's like you have to start first understanding your crew. You know, just like you said at the start, understand your audience, and then let everything kind of follow. Yeah, use the AI, use the tools.
Basics first. Mm-hmm. Put a CRM. Put a CRM and use it, right?
And use it right,
And use it right. Yeah, I see companies like they already have salespeople. They already have, 100 customers, 2,000 prospects. They're still using Excels or email completely to manage all of that. No, get HubSpot, right? Mm-hmm. Get a CRM.
Sure.
Use it right. That's going to give you the data that you can later use in order to understand, what the hell is happening in your sales processes. Sure. And in your entire sort of revenue operations, and then build from that, and then automate. Once you have a good process, automate it. Now, do it manual, automate. Do it manual.
Is it ever too early to automate?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
Now, there's a balance that you need to keep between not automating too fast.
Okay.
Because you run the risk of automating a bad process.
Okay.
Versus lagging too much behind, and then your competition is moving much faster. That's what's a bit scary about today's world with, everything launching so fast.
Sure.
And the whole idea of, build stuff, break things, and move forward.
Like agile development processes and kind of these sprints. Sure.
Yeah, move fast is that, everybody's doing that. So everybody's moving really, really fast. If you hold on to your product or your, go-to-market strategy or campaign and you wait too much, then someone's going to,
Yeah, you're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
Yeah.
So there's this balance that you need to keep between automating too fast and holding on too much to until you reach perfection.
Right.
And it's a trick. It's something you learn with experience, how to run that balance.
Sure. There's also, you mentioned something at the start just there, which I really liked, which is the whole idea of you risk automating a bad process. That to me is like genius, what you just said, because I think a lot of people always assume, in a sense, that if I created it, it must be God, right? If I made my idea has to be the best, right? So, but maybe, the way in which I'm implementing my funnel isn't the best. Maybe the way in which I'm managing my customers isn't the best. And if I do go ahead and automate that, even at the start, let's say I'm a seed company, maybe round A, I have a little bit more money than that, you actually could risk putting yourself in a real bind in the future, and trying to get out of that could be very problematic.
Absolutely. Now think about, what scares me is the idea that now AI is going to be used by lots of, mediocre sales development teams in order to produce even crappier outreach than we're used to.
Okay.
I
get you.
In the business world.
Sure.
Because that's the meaning of automating a bad process.
100%.
Salespeople they needed to work hard really to get to their audience. They needed to do the research. They needed to find, who to contact within their ICP. And they needed to, generate good messages for them.
100%.
All of that was manual. Then sales automation came along.
Right.
And what happened? Okay, you have 5% of sales development who use it right.
Right.
Because they have a good process that they then automated. But you really, really have 90% of crap
that's just been recycled, repurposed, done again, and it's terrible the first time.
Yeah, and released faster into the market. So that generated a whole lot of crap. Now AI is coming in, and AI is going to generate all that crap unless we really teach it how, not to create crap. So it's fascinating, really.
Happening. Yeah, I think we're coming into a real new space in marketing beyond even marketing, RevOps, marketing, sales, biz dev, I think we haven't even touched the surface yet of what that means when AI is brought into the picture. And I think we're only going to start seeing, as you said, in the next, 3, 5, 10 years, really what that kind of means in terms of the whole industry's development and how people are developing themselves. Now, I kind of want to also, bring it back a little bit and say, we were talking a little at the start about RevOps, right? Which is like this whole focus on money, basically, in a company. Now, when you kind of put AI into that larger framework, right, of we are focused on money only, do you sense that there could be any like potential drawbacks from using AI there, or is it going to make the process even 10 times more efficient?
No, I think the potential for efficiency is really large.
Okay.
AI, there are lots of tools today. There are lots of vendors today in the market that offer AI-powered optimizations to how you create revenue by making suggestions on which companies in your CRM you should approach based on those who already purchased.
Oh, interesting.
By improving your lead scoring or account scoring models.
Okay.
In, you know, by applying, even HubSpot does that.
Okay.
By applying insights coming from machine learning into your basically revenue operations processes.
Sure.
So I think that's already happening.
Okay. So now it's going to just kind of go accelerated almost.
It's accelerated, yes. And it's also needed because, you know, really generating revenue for organization, it's a complex task.
Right.
That there are lots of stakeholders. It's not just about money. It's about also keeping your customers, you know, happy.
Yeah, keeping customers.
Keeping customers, having them renew.
Right.
Having them, you know, use more of your application or your platform. So there's a lot that goes in there. And I think AI has the ability to really, you know, scale lots of such operations, even for companies who are small. You don't have necessarily the, you know, the kind of budgets or resources that enterprises have.
Sure. So we're getting towards the end of the talk, and I actually want to, you know, kind of get your last words on the topic. I want to know from you, maybe in a few sentences, if you, you know, were talking to, let's say, a younger Idan today, or an Idan who's going to start, you know, his own startup today, you know, and has to now apply or implement, you know, all these topics, all these principles of marketing automation, RevOps, you know, maybe AI type assistance, what is the one piece of advice you would give to that person?
I think be a generalist.
Okay.
I think there is, we tend in our industry to over-index on specialty and specialization. And I think how I see, you know, the companies I interact with, our clients, prospects, the market in general, the leaders in the market, who I see is leading sort of the charge, the leaders are more generalists. It's people who understand, you know, everything, ideally everything, but as much as possible about the basics of B2B marketing, the different technologies in the stack that can support, you know, good marketing, the way that marketing and sales and customer success should engage together. It's not just focus on one niche. You can start with a niche sort of like area, like be really good in HubSpot,
right?
Be really good in email marketing, right, be really LinkedIn, good in Google ads or LinkedIn ads. But if you want to make progress in your career in marketing, you better sort of plan to be a generalist. It happened to me by accident. Okay, I'm a generalist by nature.
Sure.
My academic degrees have nothing to do with what I do.
Right.
My, you know, the way I got into marketing was completely by accident.
Sure.
But I think it contributed to, you know, what I am today and what I can bring to the agency that I'm a partner at and to our clients.
Amazing. Amazing, Idan. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was really a lot of value, I think, given here about the whole world of marketing and RevOps. And I just wish you the best at Envy.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.